subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we're so thankful again for today. Thank you for allowing us to be in your house. And Lord, we're thankful, Lord, that it's another privilege to honor you and serve you today, to worship you. And Lord, we ask if you'd remove us out of the way. God, we pray for your help. We pray for your wisdom. Lord, I know I do lack wisdom, and I ask for your help today. Lord, I pray for the Christian who needs help and encouragement. Lord, I pray for the one who's never come to a saving knowledge of you, that you convict them of their need for salvation. These things we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. There's a specific type of event that is called an ultra. And a couple weeks ago, I described a little bit about preparation and training for marathon. This one's actually a total different event. I've never participated in these events, and I'm not sure that I'm ever interested in participating in these kind of events. But nevertheless, what happens basically is you come to the event, and it's not necessarily about speed, and it's not necessarily even about distance. What you do is you come, and it's usually a course that has been set, a exact same course, and it must be completed each hour. Usually they're anywhere from 4 to 5 miles long. And the way that it works and the way that a winner is determined is by the person who is the last man standing. In other words, you did more loops or more laps than anyone else. And believe it or not, these kind of events usually go for about 24 to 28 hours. And a lot of it comes to somebody's just unwillingness to give in. In other words, they're going to be tougher than the other person. And I started to say, fellas, because sometimes the ladies win those kind of events too. So it's a last man standing event, and that is who is crowned the champion. But you know, before they get to that place, there's a lot of suffering that must happen before they even get to that place of reward, right? A lot of pain and discomfort. Obviously, a lot of fatigue has set in. I mean, at this point, we're talking about 24 to 48 hours. And that's just a lot of discomfort and a lot of pain and suffering up until that point. The text that we read here in verse 10 that we're going to get to and kind of focus on in just a moment, notice that it says, after that ye have suffered a while. Let me share a couple of thoughts with you as we get into the message today, church, that sometimes we can develop a mindset that is incorrect towards the Christian life or the Christian walk with the Lord. For example, I think that sometimes we come and we think, well, I came to Jesus because I want an abundant life, not a hard life. And for the record, if you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have a more abundant life, amen. But that does not mean that everything's an easy life that you're going to do or experience in your life. And so oftentimes that's maybe a misunderstanding. Well, if I receive the Lord Jesus Christ, then it's going to fix all of life's problems. In fact, many times the time where you can minister to people the most is in a time of real struggle. For example, such as a funeral. You say, how do you conduct a funeral, Pastor? Well, one, obviously, a goal is to be a help and a comfort to the family. But I want to make very clear that the primary goal is to share the gospel with them. Amen? Because they're at a time where they are looking for something. They need something. They may not even realize what they need. And though they need some comfort and help and encouragement from God's people and from loved ones, the biggest thing that they need is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so at that time, oftentimes their hearts are soft and ready to receive the gospel of the Lord. So that's a time where oftentimes we try to be very targeted about sharing the gospel. Other times is maybe when they're going through a hard time. you know, that's a great time to be a witness. You say, well, shouldn't you be there trying to... Yes, we try to be encouragement. We pray. We do everything we possibly can, friend. But let me tell you something. If I miss to tell them the most important thing, then I have failed as their preacher or as a pastor. Amen? So there's often times, though, with that said, that we come to the Lord and we think that, well, that means that life is not going to be hard anymore. That's just not true. That's just not true. Let me remind you, the Scripture says, yea, all that will live godly shall suffer persecution. Amen? So sometimes when the people come to the Lord and thinking, well, I'm intending to have an abundant life, not a hard life, or sometimes they'll come to the Lord thinking, or their mindset is, if I was a better Christian, then there would not be so much opposition or problems in my life. Let me remind you about the testing that happens in our lives. Can I remind you about Job for just a moment? The Bible teaches us that he was a man that feared God and escheweth evil. The Bible describes him as being a very just man. And from what we can tell, everything in there we find in the book of Job, that he was tested during that time. Even God said, hast thou considered my servant Job? And so there was a testing time that happened. And so even though I believe he was a godly man, he obviously went through a significant test in his life. And so just let me remind you those things. The text that it says here, after that you have suffered a little while. We'll get to that in a little bit. So there's a reminder to us that there's a challenge for us today, church. There's some battles that we face along the way. There's some suffering that we have to endure. And oftentimes when you go back to thinking about the event that I described, there's many things that take people out of the competition, right? They just physically can't handle the pain, or they sustain some kind of injury, or just something even mentally gets to the place where I can't do this anymore. And you know, the same thing happens to a lot of Christians. They get to the place where they say, well, I just can't deal with this anymore. I can't handle this anymore. Somewhere along the lines, they've been injured, if you will, spiritually speaking, or they were wounded somewhere along the way, and they fall out of the race, if you will. They fall out of their service to the Lord. And friend, I'm sharing you this text today because I'm trying to help you to be prepared for things that we're seeing happen and even things that we're going to see even more. You might as well go ahead and prepare to be persecuted if you're going to stand for God. Amen? We sang that song just a second ago, stand up for Jesus. We had better go ahead and learn, church, today that we better stand for something or we're going to fall for everything. Amen? You better go ahead and decide today where you're going to stand. Go ahead and decide today that, like Daniel did, he purposed in his heart that he wasn't going to defile himself. Friend, go ahead and purpose that now. Make that decision now. Because I'm telling you, there's days of persecution and there's days of suffering that is going to come more. Now, up until this point, can we honestly say that we have really been persecuted that much? To be honest, probably not. Especially compared to other places in the world. Amen? I mean, you look over in Afghanistan, if they find you with a Bible, if they find you with a Bible app on your phone, they are putting them to death. Okay? That's a different level of persecution. You know, up until this day, you know, there seems to be more of a division going on today, depending on where you stand. I'm just letting you know, friend, to get prepared for even more of those kind of things. Now, as we're reading around in our text, there's a lot of things that get us to fall out, if you will. There's a lot of things that get us to quit. There's a lot of things that get us to stop. But there's some things that I believe, some biblical truths that you'll find right here in the Word of God that I truly believe, church, will be a help to you. If we go back to verse number 5, it says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Now, keep in mind that it had just finished talking to elders. In the first part of this chapter, it says, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. And the instructions are, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. So here he's addressing the elders or church leaders, or commonly referred to as pastors in the church. Okay? And so there is a opposite transition here. He's speaking first to the leaders or the elders. Now he's saying to the younger. So that doesn't necessarily just mean young people. Okay? It's a matter of teaching here that he's saying, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to the other, But notice what he says, and here's where we're going to really be focused on. Be clothed with humility. Be clothed with humility. Now, spiritually speaking, sometimes we look around and we see people and we say, hey, where's your clothing? Now, I'm not talking about garments either, although sometimes probably a good thing to think about, amen? We're talking about being clothed with humility, amen? And he says here, be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Can I remind you, church, that there's already enough opposition there? The Bible literally says that God resisteth the proud. So if we're not clothed with humility, understand that you've already got the Lord against you in our spirit, in our temperament, in our attitude. I don't need any more things against me. I certainly don't want the Lord against me. Amen. I want the Lord before what I do. But the very first thing, and I believe honestly this is one of the biggest things that gets people to fall, is because of pride. Because of pride. You know, I want to tell you something, church. Unfortunately, throughout the years, one of the biggest things that made people not come back to church, do you realize, was because of pride. Because of pride. Say, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, because oftentimes there was a moment of scriptural admonition or scriptural correction, or even trying to encourage them to do right, or letting them know, frankly, that, hey, listen, friend, what you're doing in your life is not right. The way that you're living in your life is not right. And, you know, we're living in a day that we don't take that kind of instruction very well anymore, do we? Right? And you know what oftentimes happens as a result of that is that you don't see him anymore. I'm well aware of the fact that when you sit someone down and you say, give them some biblical instruction, you say, friend, probably some things in your life you need to make right with the Lord. And maybe even with some people. Oftentimes the result of that is they don't come back. Amen? You know what that is? That's pride. In other words, don't correct me. Don't tell me that I'm wrong. Don't tell me that the way that I'm living in my life is not right. Well, friend, like the Apostle Paul said, am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? Isn't it fascinating? We'll go to the doctor's office and we expect the doctor to be honest about our health condition, do we not? How many of y'all would prefer to go to the doctor and say, hey, doc, just tell me what makes me feel good. Don't really tell me about my actual condition. Don't tell me that I'm sick, even though I may be sick and dying. Doctor, that's just not what I want to hear. And yet you hear it and you go back to that doctor time after time after time. Oh, but yet you come to the house of God and you hear some biblical instruction about your life. And you hear some things that says there's some things in your life that are not well. There's some things in your life where you're spiritually sick. There's some sin in your life that you need to take care of between you and the Lord. And yet we don't come back. Isn't that something? You know why, church? It's because we have not come to the house of God with the spirit of humility. I believe part of coming to church with the spirit of humility is saying, Lord, what will you give me today out of the Word of God? What, Lord, what instruction do you have for me? Lord, what can I change? How can I improve? Search me and try me and see if there be a wicked way in me. Because, friend, if you allow the Holy Spirit of God to do that in your life, I promise you He'll show you some things in your life. So the first thing that oftentimes gets people to fall out and not stand with the Lord, or not stand with the people of God, is simply because of pride. So the counter that, the Bible says, be clothed with humility. So number one, friend, if you're going to stay standing, be clothed with humility. Number two, as we read along here, verse number 7, casting most of your care upon Him. Are y'all following along in your Bibles? Did I misread that, friends? Yes, I did. Casting all of your care. Casting all of your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You know something else that often gets us to fall out, friend? You know something else that makes us not stand for Christ the way we should? Is because of our worries and our troubles that we just simply won't let go. Let me share with you this in the way that Charles Spurgeon illustrated it. He illustrated it like a man who came to move your furniture. And that is something I know a lot about here recently, amen. I've moved and moved and helped people move, and I understand a little bit about moving furniture, and I'm not even a professional. But a man comes to move your furniture and he carries with him a huge, heavy backpack of his own. He complains that he finds it difficult to do the job of moving your furniture. Would you not suggest that maybe the job would be easier if he laid down his own burden aside so that he could help carry yours? In the same way, we cannot do God's work when we are weighed down by our own burdens and our own worries. Cast them upon the Lord and then take them up with the Lord's burden, which is light, and a yoke that fits us perfectly, right? That's the way Brother Spurgeon illustrated that. And you know, oftentimes that's how we do. It's hard to come and to try to be a help to other people and encourage other people if we're always so weighed down with our own burdens. It was not that long ago that we were talking about one of the best ways to encourage yourself is actually to encourage others. But friend, if we're constantly burdened down with our own worries and cares, and I purposely said some or most, because part of the problem is that we believe that scripture, we know that it's there, but do we actually practice what it says when it says casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you? Friend, that's every single problem that's in your life. You're giving it to the Lord. You made the decision that you're going to let God handle that. Friend, I realize that all of us here, that there's not a person in here that doesn't have some kind of problem. Amen. There's not a person in here that doesn't have some kind of burden. There's not a person in here that does not have some kind of concern. If you didn't, then man, I want to get with you at the service. I'd like to know how you do it. Honestly, I'm being serious. How do you live? But we have burdens. We have cares. We have concerns. But part of the thing that makes us fall out sometimes, friend, is because we simply can't let go of those things. We simply can't let go. You know, friend, that's where it comes into a little bit of what we talked about Wednesday night. If you were here Wednesday night, you would remember that we talked about Abraham and making that step of faith where God told him to sacrifice his son. Now, wouldn't that bother you? Wouldn't that concern you? Wouldn't that worry you? But yet, nevertheless, Abraham had complete confidence and trust in the Lord that he was going to meet a need. And he even said, hey, we'll be back in a little while. You stay here and watch the animals. You stay here. We're going to go up and worship the Lord. We're going to do a sacrifice. And we will be back in just a little bit. Friend, that was an expression of faith. And friend, you know what? That's where we need to be. And oftentimes, well, preacher, I know I just need to trust the Lord. Well, don't just say it, do it. Friend, let me remind you, you're not what you say that you do. You are what you actually do. If you're a person that just talks about trusting the Lord but doesn't actually trust in the Lord, guess what? You're not a person that trusts God. If you're a person that trusts God, you proclaim that I'm going to give this to the Lord, but then actually trust the Lord and cast those burdens and cast those concerns upon Him, then you're a person who actually trusts the Lord. Say, why is that important, friend? Because the fact of the matter is we can't handle it on our own. The fact of the matter is we can't do it on our own ability or strength. If we do, we become a miserable failure. So the first thing that we see, church, as we go along here, that if you're going to continue to stand, if you're going to continue to endure, you got to be clothed in humility because, friend, that pride thing will really knock a lot of people out. The second thing is you need to cast your concerns upon the Lord. The third thing is you need to be cautious of the adversary. Cautious of the adversary. If you look there in verse number 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Friend, let me make something very clear to you. The devil hates your guts. He does not love you. He has no better goal, no better joy in your life. If you're a child of God, and if you've been saved by the grace of God, He wants to oppress you. He wants to discourage you. He wants to defeat you. He wants you to doubt the Lord and doubt what God wants to do in your life and doubt the church and doubt the Word of God. He wants you to question. That's exactly what the devil wants for you. Doubt whether people care. Doubt, you know, all these kinds of things. That's exactly what he wants to do. What starts to happen is he uses the doubt and discouragement, all those things, and starts to defeat us spiritually on the inside. And then you know what happens? You're not standing the way you used to stand. You're not serving the way you used to serve. Friend, he is out to destroy you. He is out to devour you. I mean, the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil. Over in the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul describes to see that you walk circumspectly. And you know, that idea of circumspectly is to be cautious or to be on alert. And friend, we always need to be cautious. We always need to be on alert. In fact, that's one of the things we talked about today. The very first lesson in our class was understanding our sinful nature. Say, why is that important, Pastor? Because a person can't come to know Christ without realizing that they're sinners. And we're re-emphasizing the fact that, hey, by nature, we are sinners. That's who we are, right? You know, a person can't go to get a treatment. Why would they go to get a treatment for radiology or chemotherapy if they didn't have a sickness that condoned the reason for that treatment? Friend, you can't hardly come to Christ. You can't come to Christ unless we realize who we are, right? But going back to what we're saying, friend, see that you walk circumspectly, cautiously, carefully. Let me illustrate it this way. I remember one of the things that we used to do about this time of year is I like to deer hunt, right? Amen. Who's here has been a deer hunter before? Amen. I got a couple of you here, all right? And one of the things that you know is that during the rut, it generally increases the time for you to harvest the deer. That's basically when the bucks are looking for the does, right? So it's a special time of year. And what I've come to find out is that oftentimes those boys, they're smart. Boy, they can smell really good, especially your whitetail. You know, it's a whole different strategy hunting in a tree stand. But they're smart. Boy, they can smell. You got to watch your wind. You got to check all kinds of things like that. And generally when it's not during the rut season, they walk very carefully. They walk very circumspectly, if you will, friends. They're always looking for the predator, me, right? They're always looking for the hunter. They know that there's danger out there. Oh, but during that rut season, you know what happens? They let their guard down. They let their guard down. They start to ignore their normal senses that they normally have. And oftentimes, that's when I get a chance. Me as the hunter, as the predator, the natural predator, I guess if you will, that's when I get a chance. I want to tell you something, friend. You know what the devil's doing? He's sitting back waiting for you to let your guard down. He's sitting back there waiting for you to not walk circumspectly like you used to walk. He's sitting back there waiting for you to, for just a moment to not pay attention. Why do you think the Bible says neither give place to the devil? Friend, don't give him a chance. Don't give him an opportunity. And he's just still waiting. And you know, oftentimes when that comes, after a great spiritual victory in your life, it's very, very common, right? If you look in the, you study Elijah, you'll see that he himself had just prayed fire down from heaven, and then in the very next chapter, he was defeated, right? You get in there and you look, and boy, the Apostle Paul, he'd been shipwrecked, and God brought him through a lot of things, brought him through the storm. Oh, they ended up shipwrecked, made it to land safely. Boy, they couldn't let their guard down. Here comes a snake fastened off in Acts chapter 28, a snake fastened onto him. Friend, you can never let your guard down. We must always be sober, be vigilant, watching out, because the devil is doing everything that he can to try to destroy us, and it's oftentimes in ways that we can't even imagine. So, friends, if we're going to stay, we're going to stand. You got to be clothed with humility. You got to cast your concerns upon the Lord, truly give them to him. Then you got to be cautious of the adversary. The fourth thing we want to mention today is a reminder that God has called us to his eternal glory. Notice it says in verse number 10, but the God of all grace who hath called us unto his eternal glory, called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Friend, you know there's a better day coming for the child of God. The Apostle Paul said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Amen. You know what that reminds me of when I think about when I read that text? I think that Probably there'll be a day that we look back at all these things that we faced and endured and we think, why was I so upset about that? Why did that bother me so much? Say, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, think of it like this, friends. You know, there's things that children worry about that we don't necessarily worry about. For example, there's a little noise outside. And sometimes children, one of mine in particular, runs into my room. Daddy, I heard something. Oh, you did? What'd you hear? I don't know. I just heard a noise outside. Oh, okay. Are you talking about the wind blowing and knocking over the mop handle? You know? Well, I thought maybe he was a bad man, you know? And unfortunately, there are bad men out there that, you know, do bad things, right? But when you're an adult, you realize, you know, that doesn't really sound like anything I need to be concerned about. And oftentimes we take lightly, oh, well, just go on back to bed, right? It's everything's going to be all right. Everything will be okay. You know, I always try to take a second, and I've been guilty of that too, by the way, church. But I always do try to take a second to give them reassurance that, hey, everything is fine. Everything's all right, and if bad man Dennis comes in here, he'll wish that he had it, right? And that tends to give them comfort, right? Well, you know, that's kind of what the Lord does. You know, there's a great day, a better day of coming. And part of that, when we connect that with the idea to cast all of our care upon Him, that's like the Lord reminded us that, hey, child, it's going to be okay. I have it under control. Hey, everything is fine. There's no surprises here. In fact, I like that thought that says, has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? Hey, God wasn't taken by surprise. He knew exactly what you're going through. But what I'm trying to remind you, for the Christian, for the child of God, He has called us into something much better, friend. There's a better day coming. So what I'm saying, friend, that oftentimes in a place of discouragement, in a place of trouble, what helps us to keep moving forward, what helps us to keep standing for the Lord, is the idea of knowing that, hey, things are going to get better. Eventually they get better. In fact, we mentioned the life of Job, and do you realize that it wasn't until chapter 42 in Job's life, or the book of Job, when things finally turned around? The Bible literally says, and God turned the captivity of Job. Now, I must add that to it, it says when he prayed for his friends. Right, that's an interesting thought. Well, I don't have time to get into all that. But what I'm trying to tell you is that through everything that we see in the life of Job, eventually it all got turned around. Friend, it's a reminder to you, no matter what you're enduring, no matter what you're suffering, no matter what you're experiencing today, God is going to turn it around. I can't tell you exactly when it's going to be. It might not be till He calls us into His eternal glory, but there's a hope for us, for the child of God, that God will turn that thing around. You will get victory over that thing if you're a child of God. That's one of the great things about being a child of God, is they're talking about our adversary and being cautious of him. I realize and am well aware of the fact that the devil can oppress you, but as a child of God, he cannot possess you. Right. Amen. Amen. I love what the scripture says, that no man shall pluck me out of my Father's hands. Right. Amen. Amen. Friend, I'm here to tell you today, if you've been saved by the grace of God, you're saved. There's nothing that any the devil or anybody else can do about it to change that. Because God has called us into His eternal glory, a reminder to us as children of God that there's a better day of coming. Now, what I like about this verse, it says that after that ye have suffered a while. I don't see an indication here in the Scriptures, church, that it says if you have suffered. Right? Or you might have suffered. No, the assumption is that after you have suffered. In other words, after you have endured some things, after you've experienced some painful days in your life, after you have suffered some heartache in your life, after you have suffered, then notice what happens, make you perfect. You know what happens for us when we're talking about now, let me remind you that for us, we can't be perfect. But perfection for the child of God is spiritual maturity. In other words, you grow strong, you grow stronger in your faith. You're more spiritually mature than you were before. Kind of like the same idea of the child being scared of a mop handle that the wind blew over. When you grow and mature a little bit, you realize that the wind just came through and blew a couple things over, and there's nothing to be concerned about. You get that by literally maturing as an adult. But friend, part of the things that the Lord's going to do after that you have suffered, in other words, the suffering must come first. I mean, we all want to grow. We all want the Lord to establish us. We all want the Lord to settle us and strengthen. And all that's good, but that comes after the suffering. Say, Pastor, that's not very encouraging. I realize that it's not encouraging to think that we're going to suffer. But won't you be better prepared and equipped to know that those days come or have already come, or you're right in the middle of those things right now? To know that there's things in the Bible that are going to help us get... When you come with a humble heart, Fred, you're saying, Lord, I can't do this alone. I need your help. Lord, when you come with the mindset, God, no matter what I face, I'm casting it upon you. When you come with the mindset, everywhere I go, every day that I wake up, it's a spiritual warfare. It's a spiritual battle, and I need to be prepared. Do those things not help us to be better equipped and be better prepared when those days come? Sure they do. But you see, Fred, the Bible says, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish. You know, in other words, you're more deep-rooted in your faith. Hey, after you've gone through something, you've seen God bring you through it, don't you get stronger in your faith? Don't you say, hey, I'm no more established. Hey, when you've gone through something, your church family's there, and boy, they just show the love of God in your life, and they're there to be a help, they're there to be encouragement. Doesn't that deepen your relationship with them? Hey, that deepens our relationship with the Lord when those kind of things happen after that we've suffered a while. Strengthen. Hey, friend, boy, those things make us stronger, don't they? You're more physically equipped. I mean, it's the same idea of a person building muscle. You know, essentially you put your muscle through pain and through torture. And then those muscles literally become stronger after they've been through that. And friend, that's what happens to us as children of God. We become stronger for the work of God. And then, of course, it says settle you. Settle you. Friend, you become more at peace in your walk with the Lord. No matter what you face. I remember seeing a picture that described what peace was, or they wanted them to bring an art of what peace is, what true peace is. And they showed different pictures, and one of the pictures was, you know, a beautiful sunset by the ocean. I mean, that reminds me of the handiwork of God. Boy, I love to see an ocean and just smell the waves and see the waves and to feel the ocean, the sand on your feet and all that. Boy, how can you tell me that's not of God? I've been in some places going through trails, and I look around and I see, boy, this is the handiwork of God. Only God could do something like this. I've had peaceful moments in those, and I remember the story describing pictures of that, pictures of just beautiful things, and then they showed a picture of a dove inside a little bit of a cleft of a rock. And all around that dove was a storm, and there was lightning, and there was thunder. And boy, everything was just being blown around. And there that little dove was sleeping in the cleft of the rock. That's a picture of peace. When everything around you, friend, is just blowing, the storms are brewing, the waves are tossing, and that little dove in there sleeping, that's peace. That's what God does when He helps settle you. He helps establish that peace. The Bible talks about the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And I'm often amazed. One of the greatest things I described a couple weeks ago about some of the sad things we've had to witness, but some of the good things, is seeing a child of God when God gives them grace in their final moments. And boy, they just have so much peace, and they have so much confidence in the Lord, and they're more looking forward to seeing Jesus than they are talking about regrets or talking about things that they didn't get to do in their life. They're just excited about Jesus. They're excited about seeing God. That's only peace that God can give. And friends, I can't quite explain it to you. Maybe that's why the Bible says the peace of God that passeth all understanding. We don't quite get it. But you see, friend, that comes after that you have suffered for a little while. We would all love to have those traits, those characteristics in our life, where we have grown, where we've become more mature, where we've allowed the peace of God to come into our lives, where we've allowed Him to strengthen us. But friend, those kind of things God wants to give us. But oftentimes, it's after you have suffered for a little while. The last thing I want to mention, we've talked this morning about being clothed with humility, casting our concerns, cautious of the adversary, reminder that He has called us into eternal glory. And then the last thing I want to mention there in verse 11, it concludes with worship. In verse 11, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. To Him be glory. You know what that is? That's an expression of worship. No matter what I've been through, I'm going to glorify God. No matter what happens in my life, I'm going to give God glory. Hey, can I just say, not just for the bad, but especially for the good, right? Because oftentimes we look at something and we'll say, boy, I've really done a good job on that. Yeah? Or the Lord helped you do a good job on that. I shared the verse the other day that, hey, this is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. Friend, you look around here, this is what God's doing. Friend, this is the Lord's doing. Only God can do what's happening around here. And you know what it is? It's marvelous in our eyes. It's amazing to go around and see when people get saved. It's amazing to see when a child of God grows and matures. It's amazing to see prayers answered with God's people. Boy, it gets me excited. But it's the Lord's doing. I'm not a healer. I'm certainly not a savior. Amen? It's the Lord's doing. And it's marvelous in our eyes. And you know what? No matter what we deal with, no matter what we go through, no matter what kind of heartache, persecution, or blessing that comes in our life, we ought to have an attitude of worship. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Not, well, I'm glad I was able to defeat the devil. Huh? Or, this is a good one. Well, I'm glad that I really had a lot of humility in that situation. That didn't work out too well, did it? Huh? Well, I'm glad I was really cautious of the devil. No, friend, when we apply these biblical truths, this is what God has done for us. This is what God has allowed us to do. This is what God has helped us to do. Let me share something. When somebody comes to know Christ, they're not saved because of that person. They're saved because of what Jesus did. What we do, friends, all we do is take the Bible and point. Amen? We just show them what thus saith the Lord. We just show them what God said about being saved. I'll give you a great example of that. I remember several years ago, there was a man that was coming to our church. This was a church that I served at as assistant pastor for a few years. And I knew that he was struggling to understand what the pastor was preaching, but I also knew that he was under conviction. Amen? I knew that the Lord was dealing with his heart. And he came to me being, you know, I'm not bilingual, in case you're wondering, okay? I could survive to order food and those kind of important things like that and get through. But he came to me, and basically from what I got from it, that he came to the altar because he was under conviction, and I didn't know what else to do other than show him the scriptures, friend. I literally didn't know what else to do. I took my Bible that I had that was English on one side and Spanish on the other side, and I literally read the scriptures of salvation for him. And he understood. So you can't say it was my explanation, because as far as my explanation of the text, it was not very good. You know how he got saved? By seeing the Word of God. And he convicted, and I understood nothing when he prayed and asked God to forgive him of his sins. And he trusted Christ as his personal Savior. And it was the work of the Holy Spirit and the reading of the Scripture, friend. So you see, friend, this is the Lord's doing. To Him be glory forever. To Him be dominion, friend. It's because of what He has done. See, friend, when we start taking away our glory, God's glory, boy, you're talking about getting out real quick. When we start taking away something that belongs to the Lord, friend, that's when we get ourselves in trouble real fast. Real fast. So we see here, friend, what we've seen here today. I'll ask the pianists, they'll come. If we're going to stand, and we're going to continue to stand, and I realize that sometimes in the Christian walk, in our Christian faith, it seems as if we stand alone. In fact, Apostle Paul one time said it, first, no man stood with me. But he actually really wasn't alone, was he? It was the Lord who was with him. Everybody may have left him, Demas forsaken him, having loved this present world. Alexander the coppersmith did him much evil. He said he greatly withstood our words, Then eventually he said, only Luke is with me. He may not have had a whole lot of support, friend, but he still stood even when it seemed that nobody was standing with him. And I want to know today, friend, are you willing to stand even if you're the last man standing? Even if you have to stand alone? Let me make something clear, friend. Just because the majority of people say something does not make it right. The majority of our country today seems to be going in a direction that is not in line with the Word of God. It does not make them right. We now seem to be in the minority, does it not? So just because it's the majority doesn't mean that it's right. Throughout the New Testament, you'll find that generally those who stood for Christ, those who stood for the gospel were usually in the minority. Friend, just be prepared. I'm not wishing suffering upon you at all, not by any means. I just want to help you to try to be prepared for those kind of things. Let's all stand to our feet, every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe today, friend, you've been suffering for a little while. God's trying to do something for you. We've seen some biblical truths that'll help you to stand. Won't you give it to the Lord today? Whatever your need is, won't you bring it to Him? When we say the invitation is open, we're literally inviting you to come down to the altar, do business with God, give it to the Lord. We even have folks that are more than happy, more than willing to come down and pray with you, more than willing to take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die. In fact, if there's someone here today, friend, that's never trusted Christ as their personal Savior, we want to invite you to come. Somebody will meet you down here at the altar and take the Bible and tell you how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die. Have you been suffering, friend? Have you been battling? Hey, friend, we are given some biblical truths that'll help us. That'll help us stay in the fight. That'll help us contend for the faith. Paul said, I fought a good fight. Friend, let me remind you that we are in a spiritual warfare. And if that's you today, friend, maybe one of those thoughts will try to help you today. Maybe today, friend, you realize that you need to come with a humble heart before the Lord and say, Lord, guide me through. Lord, I'm helpless without you. God, I need your power. I need your strength. Maybe you'll come and you've got a burden on your heart that you just haven't let go, and now is the time. That idea of casting is to throw away from you. Give it to God. Lay your burden down. Or you realize that, you know what, I need to be more cautious in my life. The devil's trying to do everything he can to destroy me. And I'm determined to walk more circumspectly today. Whatever your need is, friend, would you give it to the Lord? Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. How about you, friend? All right, church, let's have a word of prayer. Be dismissed for the morning service. We want to invite you to come back tonight at 5 o'clock. See what the Lord has in store. Let us pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you, God, again, for allowing us to be here. Lord, thank you for each and every one that's here. Lord, we think about some that had full intentions to be here, but Lord, due to unforeseen circumstances, they're not able to be here. We pray that you'd help them and touch them in a special way. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to know, Lord, that, God, there may be days of suffering, but, Lord, you're trying to do something through those days. You're trying to help us to grow and establish us and strengthen our faith. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to continue to grow in grace. Pray that you'd be at the services tonight. Be with us as we go home, go our separate ways. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church. Bless you, sweetheart. You really been deer hunting?
Yeah.
You have?
Deer.
Really?
Yeah.